This next story is about a woman who lived with domestic violence for 20 years. Not anymore. What changed her life was going to school, not to learn, but to cook. Reporter Ritu Chatterjee has the story from northern India.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Saroj is on her way to work. That's actually her full name. Many people here in the state of Haryana don't have last names. Saroj is a cook in a nearby school. She's short, hardly 5'2". But she walks tall down narrow streets of concrete houses with cows and buffaloes outside. We walk past an old man sitting outside a house, and she leans in close to me and whispers,
"That man sitting on that chair, he's my brother-in-law, my husband's elder brother. He quarreled a lot with me."
I ask her, what did he quarrel about?
Well, to control me, so that I didn't come and go as I pleased. He wanted me to ask for his permission. That's why.
Saroj spent most of her life confined to her home, obeying the men in her family. Today, she lives life on her own terms. That's unusual for women in rural India. And it took Saroj more than 2 decades to break free from the traditional rules of the region. Her parents married her off at 16.
I came here after I got married.
Her husband was from this village, Dujana, in the northern state of Haryana. The marriage gave her 2 daughters and 2 6-inch scars on the inside of her left arm.
This, he hit me with a piece of wood, my husband.
Saroj tried to get help by telling relatives.
If I told someone, they'd say, after all, it's your husband beating you, not some random man.
This is a particularly patriarchal and violent part of India. Domestic violence is common. 10 years went by like this. Then, one day, Saroj's husband just disappeared. Months later, she had no idea whether he was alive or dead. Eventually, Saroj was treated like a widow. And widows here in Haryana are often married off to one of their husband's younger brothers. So Saroj moved in with her younger brother-in-law, a man named Dharamveer.
I thought, well, he'll raise my children. He'll look after me.
What happened was the opposite. He drank a lot and was more violent than his brother. She stayed with him, even bore him a son. But she felt miserable and helpless. When her son was still a toddler, she finally met the first person who was sympathetic to her. Santra Devi is a local school teacher.
She had come to get her daughters admitted at the school. We started talking, and I came to know that poor thing. She was very sad.
Santra says Saroj told her about her husband's drinking and that she had no money for food.
So, I said, why don't you come to the school and help us out with a few things?
Santra meant odd jobs like cleaning, making tea, running errands. It was Saroj's first time working outside the home. A few years later, Saroj got an even bigger break because the school signed on to the government's free school lunch program. That was in 2004. The program requires schools to hire cooks, preferably poor women like Saroj. The school hired her full-time to cook lunch for the students. The pay was peanuts, less than $20 a month, but the job became her lifeline. For her husband, though, it was a threat because he couldn't control her anymore. Santra, the teacher, remembers all of this.
Her husband was awful. He would stop her on the road, beat her up. He even came into the school. If she had any money, he had taken it away from her.
He tried to convince Saroj to give up her job. When she refused, he beat her more. So Santra and other teachers decided to do something about it. They spoke directly to the husband.
We told him that if you come here again, you will end up in jail.
They threatened to report him to the police.
We made sure he didn't beat her on the streets either. We put pressure on him.
Their strategy worked. He never came back to the school. And he stopped beating her on the streets. But inside their home, Saroj says the violence continued.
I'd feel angry because he just wouldn't change.
Then, one night, he did something he'd never done before.
He broke my teeth. He hit me with a pipe. See? It's here somewhere. I'll show you.
She walks out to her kitchen and returns with a narrow pipe about a foot long and places it in my hands.
ये तो लोहे का है.
This is an iron rod, I say.
इससे मारा था मुंह पे.
He hit you with this on the face? And this time Saroj did something she'd never done before.
Police mein gayi main pehle.
I went straight to the police.
Still bleeding, Saroj walked to the local police station and filed a charge. The police called her husband to the station and locked him up overnight. The next morning, she says he left the village. She hasn't seen him since. That was 6 years ago. Today, Saroj is the state leader of the union for women who work as school cooks and kitchen help. There are thousands of union members across the state of Haryana. This is their meeting in a town called Jhajjar. Saroj has helped these women lobby for better pay and other rights. Some women haven't gotten paid for several months. Others are worried about layoffs. Saroj answers phone calls and listens to the women in front of her, promising to take their concerns to lawmakers. Soon, it's time for a new member, a skinny woman in a yellow tunic, to pay her union dues and sign her name in the receipt book. I don't know how to sign my name, she says. She's illiterate. But Saroj reassures her.
You'll learn. We'll teach you. No one is born knowing everything.
Then she turns to the group and says,
soon we'll make her the chief of her block, right? We women are no longer lagging behind. We are not lagging behind men anymore.
Across India, more than 2 million women work in school kitchens like Saroj. A modest investment by the Indian government that means big changes in their lives. And, Saroj hopes, a way for them to live life fearlessly. For NPR News, this is Ritu Chatterjee.